Australia's top CEOs earn millions of dollars every year, usually a base salary topped up with bonuses, options and incentives. Executive pay has been increasing for decades now, and while it has dropped slightly since the GFC, the leaders of our top 100 companies now earn an average of $4.8 million a year. That is 100 times the median wage in Australia. Now, new research questions whether performance-based pay for CEOs actually delivers the best outcome for companies and shareholders. Dr. Peter Seebohn from the Melbourne Business School at the University of Melbourne has co-authored a report, When Less is More, The Benefits of Limits on Executive Pay. It's published in the Review of Financial Studies. Peter Seebohn, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Good morning.
Incentive bonuses, they're to create an incentive to achieve targets, to do better. That's the whole point of it, isn't it?
The point of it is to do better. The problem is that the incentive bonuses encourage particular sorts of behaviour by the board and by the CEO, and those behaviours aren't necessarily the best long-term behaviours for the company.
Give us an example of that. What do you mean?
Well, so the fixed or the performance targets for, tend to encourage CEOs to go for measurable outcomes that can be produced within the time frame of the bonuses, and they encourage the board to hide behind those measures rather than understanding what's really going on in the company. So that tends to push the company towards much more measurable strategies, things like mergers and acquisitions, and push them away from strategies which are based much more on understanding and better relations between the board and the CEO, which tend to be things which are based around building organisational capabilities.
So you're saying
would be an example.
A longer-term view about a company's potential is foregone for a short-term lift in profits?
Essentially, yes. Yeah. Even though it would be more sensible for the company to take the long-term view.
Give us an example of a change where you took the long-term view, which might reduce a CEO's, you know, performance bonus. Can you of what could happen in an organisation?
I can give a counterexample, which is might be because no one's regulated this and done the experiment. But if I was a director of an electricity utility at the moment, where we have massive uncertainty in supply, I mean, these companies are vertically integrated, the massive uncertainty in supply with coal seam gas and global warming and a very unclear regulatory regime and all those issues, and then in distribution, they overbuilt the distribution system, and so there's too much of that. And in retail, we have tremendous uncertainty with rooftop solar and electric cars and the like coming in, and every investment they make has a life of 50 years. The last thing I would want would be a CEO who was focusing on the short to medium term, because they could quite easily bankrupt the company.
How?
By just doing something stupid. They 10 years ago they went and built all these distribution systems
because they thought demand was increasing.
Because they thought demand was increasing, and they didn't sit down and actually think about what was going on in the markets. Now, maybe if the CEOs had had different incentives, they would have put more thought into the longer term rather than the short term return they could get from the regulator.
Who should care about this? Because shareholders in the short term would like a CEO, I think, that's driving up profits, because that feeds directly into their share price and dividend, doesn't it?
Well, if you're a short-term speculator, then you would agree. If you were trying to manage a superannuation fund and your time horizon was more than 4 or 5 years, you might be much more interested in companies creating value in the long term.
And your point is that should be the role of the board. The board should be much more engaged in the overall machinations and direction of the company rather than leaving it to the CEO.
Absolutely. And the board should have in the company I was very involved in, there was the CEO had performance incentives and wasn't going to meet them, so he went out and acquired a competitor. And the competitor, it was just strategically a really bad move and ended up being extremely extremely costly for the company. That happened because the board didn't understand the business.
Isn't the point, though, of offering these bonuses and incentive payments to CEOs is to attract the best CEOs, that you won't get them if you just have a flat-capped pay structure?
So the model shows that you can have some incentive pay. That's the first thing. And second thing is it's a lot to do with norms. we've had this massive escalation. I'm not sure that Ian Narev or Gail Kelly needs $10 or $12 million to attract them to come in the door every morning. It's probably important that they're getting about the same as each other, but I don't think it needs to be that much. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't be rewarded for good performance. It's just that the good performance should be based on, at least in part, by the board really understanding what they're doing and how they're leading, rather than on these fixed external measures.
And you're really only talking about incentives at the top here. It's not true for all pay incentives, so sales reps working on commission, for instance.
So the model works. What the model suggests is that the performance pay works for you if you're engaged in transactional sorts of activities. So sales work is highly transaction-based. And it works against you if you're interested in activities that require capability building, working with other people, creative sorts of things that require take a long time to deliver.
Okay.
So it would work all the way up through the organisation, but you need to think about what sorts of activities you want to engage in.
Peter, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Dr. Peter Seebohm, Senior Research Associate with Melbourne Business School and with economist Benjamin E. Hermelin at the University of California, has co-authored this report, When Less is More, The Benefits of Limits on Executive Pay.